The last couple of weeks I have not been in the pulpit. Last week I was in another state conducting business, and it is a joy to go out and find out that born-again, spirit-filled, tongue-talking believers are getting ideas from God that are multi-million dollar corporations. I sat in one state in recent weeks with an individual who was looking for funding for an operation that he has that is absolutely phenomenal. It'll be a multi-million dollar corporation. And I sat with him in the infancy stages of putting together his operation. And I sat there and I thought, here's a believer, born again, spirit-filled, and flatly telling me, I was praying about this and the Holy Spirit told me to do this and to do that, and now it's working. Then in another state, I sat with an individual who needed to have funding, you know, $100 million or so, to set up his business. And he had a God idea while he was in another country doing missionary work. And this idea is going to form a multi-billion dollar corporation. Now, both of these individuals had ideas from God. And I'm reminded of something that I told you the story years ago about T.L. Osborne. T.L. Osborne had put out a monthly newsletter. And in the newsletter it said, you don't need money. All you need is an idea from God. And a construction worker living in a mud floor hut in Malawi, someone handed him that newsletter and he took it home and he read it. And he sat down there and he said, all right, I need an idea, God. And God gave him an idea. And he put an ad in the paper soliciting contracts for buildings. Now, this is a laborer, construction worker, a laborer, not a person with a degree in engineering or construction. He's a construction worker. And so he gets money together, and he puts an ad in the local paper there in Malawi advertising for contracts, bids on construction projects. And in a matter of weeks, he has three requests for bids on government contracts to build government buildings, multi-million dollar contracts. And he goes, okay, God, I've got these requests to bid, but I don't know how to bid. I don't know what to do. And God said, advertise for a job superintendent, a construction foreman, and a job analyst. And so he advertised for those, and these guys came together. He said, guys, I've got these requests for bids for government building here. What can we do? To put the story aside, in a few short years, this man flew a private jet from Malawi to Tulsa, Oklahoma, to meet T.L. Osborne and to share with him what had happened when he got an idea from God. Wow. Now, I'm not talking about someone who started out with a family fortune. He was living in a home that had dirt floors. Plumbing was outside the door. And pretty soon he's building government office buildings. Why? Because he got an idea, a God idea. And I talked to this one gentleman in one state, and he was needing funding to get his project going, but he prayed, and God, through the Holy Spirit, he said, the Holy Spirit told me what to do, and he built a machine, and this machine works and produces wealth. It is a wealth-producing machine. And I sat talking with him. We went out to eat together. We discussed what he needs to get his business going. I want to be a part of that business. I want to see him start raking in the millions of dollars that that business can produce. Then I sat with the other group and their corporation. And this corporation will be a multi-billion, it won't be a million, it'll be a multi-billion dollar international corporation. An idea from God. They were on the mission field, and his wife said, I want to do something. And he said, well, I'll help you do it. And before long, that idea had grown so big they couldn't deal with it. God has ideas available to you, and they are in you. They're not in you, they're in you. Things you can think up are generally not God. Because he said he wants to do above and beyond what you ask or think or comprehend. So God says, I want to go beyond your mental limitations. Now, how many of you know you're mentally limited? Well, I've been thinking that about you myself. Glad y'all got honest and admitted it. Your mind limits you because your mind is the composite of what you've heard, read, and experienced. Listen to me. Your mind is the composite of what you've read, you've heard, you've observed. It's limited. But your spirit is connected to God. Therefore, it's limitless. Your spirit can think bigger than your brain can comprehend. But your spirit can conceive bigger than your brain is able to process. That's why sometimes you have to pray an idea from God out in the spirit. Just pray it out so God can give you the revelation. God will speak to you in different ways. And God is concerned about little things. Yesterday I was talking to the Lord about the season that he's bringing this body into of renewal, refreshing, and restoration. And God said, I'm restoring to you the things I've promised you through the years. Go back to those promises. Now, when God said that, I'm taking that for me, and I believe it's for us. There are things that God has said to Derek through men of God in the operation of this church over the last 30 years that he needs to go back and lay hold of. There's things that God said to Damon. There's things that God said to Judith. There's things that God said to you. If you've been in this church, you know, 2 years or more, you've had words from the Lord that have come to you in public assemblies, in private prayer time, in meditation. God said, I'm restoring those things to you. Literally said, I'm restoring the fruit of the words you've received. Well, we receive the words as a seed. Now he's going to produce the fruit of those words we received. The Lord said, refreshing. Refreshing. What is refreshing? And that he said, refreshing is spending time in my presence, because the workaday world beats you down. But refreshing comes from the Lord and from being in my presence. He said, so start setting aside time. Jerry, when you just get away with God and say, God, I'm closing the door to the bedroom, telling everybody, go work a puzzle, do something, but leave me alone. And you get into God's presence, just begin to sing to the Lord, begin to sing in tongues, begin to open yourself to him, and he will come to you. And when the Lord comes, a refreshing comes. Now, when the Lord's refreshing comes, it's beautiful because it comes physically, it comes spiritually, it comes mentally, and it comes all at the same time. When you will separate yourself and spend that time basking in God's presence, I mean, if you can set aside time to go lay in the sunshine, if you can set aside time to go sit in the chair and have them do your nails and get your pedi and your mani, you can take time to just sit in God's presence and get refreshed by him. It's better than a chair massage. Because when the refreshing of God's presence comes, your mind is relieved and renewed. Your spirit is edified and built up, and your physical man experiences recovery. Begin to pursue the refreshing of the Lord, but it will not hunt you down. You will have to shut down and wait on it. Refreshing comes from the presence of the Lord, and you have to prepare the place for him to come to. Renewal. David prayed, God, renew in me a right heart. Why? He had gotten a little out there, and he needed his heart renewed. But God wants to renew everything about you, everything about your existence, from your finances to your mindset. Now, the last time I spoke to you, I talked to you, that was three Wednesday nights ago, and I referred you to a passage of Scripture. How many of you remember what it was? It was between Matthew 12 and Matthew 14. I'm not going to tell you where it was, but it was somewhere in there. And I told you something about Matthew 13. What did I tell you? Matthew 13 is Kingdom 101. Now, in your notes, we're on page 3 of the Kingdom of God, Kingdom of Light, Kingdom of His Dear Son. Now, we've been in these notes for 2 months, and we haven't got past page 3 yet. And I reviewed them today after I had been looking and searching at several other things. And I do have my finger marked at Matthew 13, and we will get there. But the Lord said to bring something tonight, and so I'm bringing it. Messiah did not come as your redeemer from sin. He came as the Son of God, Jehovah, Lord of hosts, who is King of the universe, and He came to be King of earth. Let earth receive her King. Now, we sing about it once a year, but do we really comprehend? And the Lord gave me many points to bring to you tonight. Number one, the Lord's earthly mother, the womb through which He gained entrance into the earth, was a direct descendant of King David. The natural father, and I once asked the Lord, why did you give me the genealogy of Mary? You didn't give me the genealogy of Peter. You didn't give me the genealogy of Paul. Why did you give me the genealogy of Mary and Joseph, and they were not even going to be ministers of the gospel, apostles, disciples? They were just guardians of His formative years. And He said it was important that you know that Mary was a direct descendant of Adam and of King David. It was important that you know that Joseph was a direct descendant of Adam and of King David. He was born into royalty in the natural, but he was born of royalty in the spirit. He was born of the King of the universe, Jehovah, Lord of hosts. So at his birth, he was heralded not as a savior, not as a redeemer, but as a king. Okay. Why? Because he came to establish the kingdom of God in the earth. Now, we have boiled it down to churches. And he didn't come to be king of the church. He came to be king of the earth. When God brought the first humans to the earth, Ish and Ish-Osh, or Adam and Eve, if you are King James people. If you're Hebrew students, Ish and Ish-Osh. What were they? I heard someone on the radio teaching that Adam was a gardener, that God sent him to till the soil and work the garden. You talk about utter hogwash. He said, Adam, I've made gold. It's over here in Iraq. Ophir. I have made all the earth for you to enjoy. He didn't say, I've made all the earth for you to be caretaker. He said, I made it all for you to enjoy. I made it all for you to rule over. What rules over the earth?
A king.
A king. Adam and Eve were crowned king by Jehovah, Lord of hosts, because he called their name Ish. Out of God, or of God. So God's original intent was Adam and Eve rule the earth, subdue it, have dominion over it. He didn't say, take this shovel. God instructed him the same way Jesus instructed his disciples. He didn't say, disciples, now you can dig up this mulberry tree and you can get a cart and carry it over to the sea. And if you get a good high cliff, you can push it off. He said, if you tell that tree to go, it has to go. You can get to a place in me where you can rule over nature, and nature will do what you tell it to do. What is that? That's kingdom authority. He said, you can get to a point where you can tell that mountain what to do. And I told you about Pastor Green in Louisiana. He was praying about, God, where do you want our new church to be? And God led him to a piece of property. And when he got to that piece of property, it was a marsh. It was a swamp. It was below sea level, and it wasn't fit for anything. And he said, God, what do you want me to do? And God said, that's your new piece of property. And he said, why? And God said, all the highways go by it. But it's a marsh. It's a swamp. It's, God said, I said to you, tell that mountain to be removed and cast in the sea. Now, he pondered on this for a while, because you're telling me to tell a mountain to be removed, and I've got a hole in the ground. I've got a piece of land here that's marsh and not fit to be built upon. And so he began to pray about, God, what does that mean? And God showed him trucks going by loaded with soil. And the Lord said, where are they going? And he said, to dump. The Lord said, why aren't they dumping those mountains of dirt on your property? So he went and talked to the trucking companies and said, I've just bought this piece of property over here, this swamp. And from now on forward, all of your clean dirt, not your construction debris, but all your clean dirt and fill, you can dump it on my property. And so they began to bring mountains of dirt until his property was filled. Now, we had a similar situation when we bought the property in the wilderness. We had unfit land out there, and it was covered with junipers. And so some of us got together, and we began to pull up juniper trees. We began to mow the 18 acres. We would ride the mower with a gun across our lap, because there were so many snakes and rats out there that we had to kill the rats and kill the snakes so the property would be proper. And they started putting a water main from Weberville Road to 290. And they built a water tank there that was a million-gallon storage tank. And they were building a six-foot water line all the way up to there. And so one day I went and I said, where are y'all going to dump that dirt? And they said, well, we have to pay the landfill over here, $8 a truck to dump it. I said, how many trucks are you going to have? They said, at least 100 or more. Huge dump trucks. I said, I've got some land up the street here that has a lot of holes in it. And so from that day forward, trucks all day long would come and just dump on our property. And then the guy that was in charge of doing the line said, I said, I need to borrow a grader, maintainer. And he said, do you know how to drive one? And I said, I can learn. So he sent a grader up, and I started leveling all of that out. And we leveled acres of land We had holes you could hide a Volkswagen in. And all of a sudden, it's smooth, it's slick. There's 18 beautiful acres out there now. The same thing when we started putting the parking lot. We found places where they were digging out base material, caliche. We said, why don't you dump it on my property? You don't have to pay to dump it. You see, you can begin to... We had a two-acre parking lot with base material, and it didn't cost us a dime. And after they dumped it, they came out and leveled it for us. You don't need money. You need an idea, a word from the Lord. Right now, I'm asking God, as I walk around this building more, I'm saying, God, show me. I know there's two pieces of property I like a lot, and I'm torn between which one. But I'm saying, God, show me the property you want me to have. And if he says, go by this hole or go by this mountain, I know there's a way to make it work. But I'm asking you in your life, in your situation, if God said to you, why don't you go by that swamp? Why don't you go by that hole? I want you to, would you be obedient to do what God told you to do? And believe that God could take nothing and make something with it if you would be willing to rule over that desolate wasteland. If you can tell a mountain to go drop in the sea, then you can tell loads of dirt to come and fill your worthless swamp until you have a beautiful... Now Pastor Green has a beautiful church campus right in the intersection of all those highways, because what was once a swamp is now a church property. Now, you know if God can do it in Louisiana, he can do it in the revival center of the nation. Amen. What are you believing God for, and at what level are you believing God? Now, some people... Some 4 years ago, when I began to decree that I pastor the wealthiest group of people in the wealthiest church the world has ever seen, some people decided I was crazy and said, Pastor's lost it now and left the church because I had finally lost it. Rather than saying, wait a minute, if he's decreeing that he pastors the wealthiest group of people in the wealthiest church the world has ever seen, and he is a man of God, I want in on that. I want a piece of that. Wealthiest people. You can believe a thing and prosper because of it, or you can believe a lie and be damned. Now then, if the gold is God's and the silver is God, and he said so, behold, the gold is mine, saith the Lord, and the silver is mine. If God looked at Ophir and said, Adam, gold is good, why would God tell Adam gold was good? He wanted him to have it. How much gold did Solomon have? How much gold did David have? I mean, people are coming from the world over to bring them gold. When they came to the Lord Jesus, it's estimated that they brought somewhere between $3 and $20 million in king's ransom to him at his birth. Why? They were not coming to find a savior. They were not coming to find a religious leader. They were coming to find a king. What was the ruler of the nation looking for? He was trying to find the king to kill him before he got replaced as king. So what did the people of Israel see our Messiah as? The heir apparent to the throne. And the disciples, after 3 years, they said, are you going to set up your kingdom now? I mean, you know, we've been following you 3 years. We've been waiting for this kingdom. Well, Pastor, we've been following you for 3 or 4 years now, and we haven't seen that great wealth manifest. Just keep believing. Just keep celebrating. Just keep praying to God, because you will see it. Amen. It is coming on this body. Amen. And then people will want to know how you became an overnight success. I remember John Osteen talking. They were in a feed store in East Houston, and they had been in that feed store for years. In fact, John left the feed store and went to the Philippines and went into world missions and then came back to the feed store and took the church back over. And his daughter was so ashamed of the feed store that they were having church in that she wouldn't even tell people at church that her father was a pastor. But after 16 years of feed store, they became an overnight success. And John said, people come to me and say, how did you become an overnight success? And he said, it only took me 16 years to become an overnight success. But understand this. Ethel, it doesn't matter how many years it took you. Once you're a success, everybody wants what you got. The kingdom is not a theory. The kingdom is not a Bible story. The kingdom of God, the kingdom of life, the kingdom of the Son, is a power waiting to manifest. It is a presence waiting to be received. It is a purpose waiting to be lived out. It is a people that come together under one God for one purpose, to establish His kingdom in the earth. It is a place. The kingdom of God is a place you come to. It must first be a place of worship to become a place of manifestation, to become a place of power. God intends to have all the earth under His rule before He returns. Now, a lot of people teach escapism. The Lord is coming back to catch us away before the Antichrist eats us. And on your notes, we went into great detail to talk to you about the fact that that is a lie of the devil. God is not coming to catch us before the devil destroys the earth. In fact, your Bible teaches that when God returns to earth, it'll be to receive the kingdom that His Son presents into His hands that is already. And your notes has the scriptures from Corinthians, from Revelations, that talk about that on page 2 and 3. Until the church begins to see the kingdom of God as a real people, a real place, a real power, a real presence, we're going to struggle in mediocrity and in disillusionment. But the Bible says Adam was to be a ruler. It says that Abraham looked for a city whose builder and maker was God. Now, that wasn't Jericho. That wasn't the promised land. Abram, spending time in God's presence, began to realize that God was literally going to establish the new city Jerusalem on the face of the earth. And Abraham, out of spending time in God's presence, got a picture and began to look for that city whose builder and maker was God. Well, Pastor, he never saw it. No, he didn't. But that doesn't mean the city he saw in God's presence isn't real. It was so real in the spirit that Abraham began to look for it in the natural. But it wasn't for Abraham's time. But I truly believe it is for our time. Now then, you can decide that Pastor has finally lost it and flipped his lid. But I'm telling you, there is a people who are going to listen. And they're going to start saying to things. They're going to speak to physical impairments that have tried to hold them captive and say, no, you will no longer hold me captive, and they'll leave. They're going to talk to spirits that are trying to hold their children captive, and they're going to rise up in the power of Acts 16:31 and Jeremiah 31:17, and they're going to tell their children, you're returning from your captivity to drugs, to alcohol, to whatever it is. They're going to speak, not, all right, child, listen to me. No, they're just going to speak it out. You don't have to speak into their ear. You can speak out, my children are returning from their captivity. And when they learn, I can rule over my body. I can rule over what came out of my body. Then they're going to start thinking, I can rule over my job. And they're going to start pulling up in the parking lot going, I will occupy the number one parking place in this parking lot, and it will come to them. I will occupy the number one office in this corporation. You see, you don't go into that person and say, I'm getting your job. You might be speaking to a new corporation next week. But begin to decree a thing and it will be established. But it has to become real to you before you look for it. That city that Abraham saw in the Spirit, in God's presence, because in God's presence is the fullness of joy. And God and Abraham sat together, they ate together, they fellowshiped together to such extent that Abraham began to see the plan and purpose of God in the earth. He saw God so real that he was willing to slay his own son, the son of promise, fully expecting him to be raised up out of the ashes. Amen. He so trusted God that he believed, I can kill him, I can burn him, and out of the smoke, the devil is looking for a phoenix, I'm going to receive a present from God. But until the kingdom of God becomes real to you, and you can say, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth just like it is in heaven, and fully expect that God's rule can be established in the earth. On page 2, I share with you how I find it so fantastic that you can tell people Hitler's going to rule the earth, and they believe that. You can tell them Stalin, Mussolini. You can tell them ISIS is going to rule the earth, and they will believe it. They'll concede, yeah, I can see that. Tell them the body of Christ is going to rise up and rule the earth. They go, you got to be crazy. And what they're saying to you, I believe in the power of the devil and destruction more than I believe in the power of God. Now, I'm going to ask you a serious question. Do you believe that the kingdom of God will become an earthly reality where God's rule is in the earth? And it won't be Baptist, it won't be Methodist, it won't be Assembly of God, it won't be Charismatic or Pentecost, it'll be kingdom. Do you believe that we can come to the point in the earth where no one has to say to his neighbor, I want to evangelize you so that you can get born again and know the Lord? Because all of your neighbor, it says all of your neighbor, and no man will say to his neighbor, know the Lord, because all will know who the Lord is. It didn't say all will worship him, all will have him as Lord, but they'll know who God is in the earth. Yes. Because until it's all removed. Now then, I've got to tell you that when you really read Matthew 13, and I can tell as I was looking that none of y'all had any look on your face that you've even visited Matthew 13 since I talked to you about it. But when you read Matthew 13, you realize that no, he's not coming to snatch us up out of the earth before the evil. He told us twice in two different examples of the kingdom there, they'll be gathering in the fish. And then the angel will separate the bad fish from the good fish. That the kingdom of God is going to sweep over the whole earth. And what is good will go into containers because God has prepared a place in the kingdom for you. And what is evil will be thrown aside, cast away. Two examples there tell you the end time is not going to be God coming to take the church out and leave it to the devil. It is the angels are coming, and they're going to, like a net, suck everybody into God's presence, and what is of God will stay, and what isn't will be tossed aside. Right. Now, isn't it amazing that when the king of the kingdom taught this illustration, much of the church didn't understand it, and they're still preaching, catching the church away so the Antichrist can have the earth. Where did that garbage come from? Wow. In the last days, doctrines of demons. That's a doctrine of demons, that God has to get his people out of here because it gets so evil that if we don't go, the Antichrist will destroy us. That means the devil's power is greater than God's. The earth and the fullness thereof are the Lord's, not the devil's. And in the illustrations the Lord gave, it wasn't the good that was taken out of the earth. The good remained and the evil was taken out. But if you watch religious television and listen to religious radio channels, they're all pontificating gloom and despair and how the devil's taking over the earth. And your Bible says, no, it ain't so. God's kingdom is coming into manifestation in the earth because there will be a people who will awaken to his lordship and who will return to original intent. One of the more important books in the bookstore is the manual that I wrote on original intent. And until you understand that one thing, that God's original intent was for his man to rule in the earth, until you get that, all else religious doctrine will fall short of truth. All the earth will praise him. Why? Because everything that is not of him will be gone. I am not looking for a catching away to sneak me out before the Antichrist marks everything. I'm looking for a renewal of the Holy Spirit, a refreshing of the Holy Spirit, a restoration of the Holy Spirit that restores original intent to the church, and the church awakens to what God wants for us, and we say, your kingdom come, your will be done, and fully expect a system of rule, of order, and of reign in the earth to come into manifestation. Now then, I could keep you late tonight, but I'm not. But I'm going to ask you one more time. I told you 3 weeks ago that Matthew 13 was Kingdom 101. And you need to get it down as a foundation of how to see the kingdom of God. So if you'd turn to Matthew 13. And we're not going to read the entire chapter. Well, not entirely. But I want to walk you through it. Then Jesus went out of the house and was sitting by the sea. And the crowds came and he told the story of what? He told them a parable about the sower sowing the word. But understand, what wasn't good ground was dealt with. What wasn't good was dealt with. An explanation. Why do you speak to them in parables? And Jesus answered them, to you, not who are born again, not who are spirit-filled, but you who have decided to sit under discipling. That's your one qualification. You have decided to learn. I said, follow me, and you accepted, submitted to my lordship, and you followed me. You accepted the fact I've got the right to tell you what to do, and that alone qualifies you to understand what I'm talking about. You need to tell yourself, self, you're making the decision to submit to his lordship and to follow him. Therefore, your eyes are open to see his truth. Your ears are open to hear his truth. Mind, you are open to conceive his truth. And spirit, you are open to receive the impartation of his truth. Because making the decision to follow him qualifies me to understand. Well, Pastor, I don't understand these things. Maybe you haven't met the qualifications for understanding. Have you submitted to lordship and decided to follow? To you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been granted. For whoever has, to him more shall be given. If you have a grasp on what I'm saying, then more will come to you. But if you do not have a grasp which begins with submission to lordship and the decision to be discipled by me, if you don't have that basis, then any word, any seed that falls into your life will be taken from you either by being choked to the cares, by being burned up because when the heat of pressure and opposition comes. You see what he's teaching, how the kingdom works. To be in the kingdom system, you've got to determine, I submit to lordship, I will be discipled by the Lord, and I will be good ground. Yeah. For whoever has, if you have any understanding of the truth and principles of God, then I want you to get this down. If I have begun to understand things of God, then more will be given me. But if ain't nothing, never made no sense, I need to go back to my first works again and get under lordship, not get saved. But whoever does not have, even what seed happens to fall into their life will be taken because they're bad ground. Either the birds will eat it, the weeds will choke it, or the sun will dry it up, because when pressure comes, they don't have any root. Where is your root? What makes the root? Submission to lordship, submission to being discipled, being taught. You got to understand, you don't know it, but if you listen, he'll teach you it. And then he goes on to talk about the prophecies concerning this. Verse 21, yet he has no firm root in himself, but is only temporary. And when affliction or persecution stirs because of the word, what does the devil want most to get out of you? And you know what most church people are not doing? They're not reading the word. They're not studying the word. Hun, well, Pastor Jim, I'm just so busy. Then get the New Testament, not the Bible, the New Testament on CD and play it in your car going to and from your busy schedule. Get a Bible and put it by your bed, and every night determine, I'm going to read one or two chapters before I go to sleep. I will tell you this, if you do, you will sleep better, you'll sleep longer. Well, when I can't sleep, I turn on the TV. The TV occupies your mind and doesn't bring peace. Read the Word of God aloud. Read it aloud. Reading the Word of God is one of the great sleeping pills of all time. Read the Word of God. And I'll tell you this, if you go to sleep with the TV on, you will have bad sleep and you will throughout the night think about what the TV was saying. But if you go to bed with the Word in your head, you will have visions of God in the night and you will awaken refreshed. You can literally go to sleep and wake up closer to God than you were when you went to sleep, because the Word is speaking to you. Because of the Word immediately falls away. He tells the sower stories explained. Then I've taught on that many times. I want you to study it out. The mustard seed. He says, Kingdom 101, here's another parable, another story hidden in a story, or another truth hidden in a story. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in the field. And this is smaller than all the other seeds. Well, Pastor Jim, this little thing called a New Testament, what is it compared to all the books that have been written? It may be the smallest of all the seeds, but it'll produce more than libraries of mental comprehension can. I don't need the whole Bible. All I need is one truth from the Bible to overcome every. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. It's smaller than all the other seeds, but when it's full grown, it produces more than everything else will produce. One seed of the word will produce more than a volume of seeds from the world will. He spoke another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 pecks of flour until it was all leaven. The word of God affected, what he's saying here is, every other area of understanding you have. She took a little leaven, put it in all of the flour, and all of the flour became affected by that little leaven and was changed because of it. He said, the kingdom of God is that way. You should be like leaven. You should have an effect that changes the texture of everything around you, changes the consistency of everything around you, changes the balance of everything around you. The kingdom of heaven is about influence. You can influence everything around you. All these things he spoke to the crowds in parables, and he did not speak to them without a parable. Why? They weren't capable of understanding. This, verse 35, was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things hidden since the foundation of the world. Wait a minute. What was hidden from the foundation of the earth? Our King. He was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the earth. And what happened when the earth was founded? God said, rule over it. So Messiah becomes our vehicle to rule. And the original intent then comes alive in us. And we subdue the earth and rule over it. And we do it by becoming the leaven that influences everything around us. Verse 44, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in the field, which a man found and hid again. And from joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking fine pearls. And upon finding one of great value, he went and sold all that he has and bought it. What does these two parables tell you? Getting the kingdom of God begins with giving up everything else of importance to you to pursue it. Seeing it as worthy, as valuable. If you see the kingdom of God as I've got to give up everything, I've got to sacrifice everything, and I've got to somehow deal with it. No, he said, you've got to see it as the finest pearl you've ever seen. You've got to see it as a treasure that I want so much, I'll give up everything I've got to own that treasure. Well, Pastor, I don't get it, the comparison there. He finds a treasure in a field, and he gives up everything he has to buy that field. Yeah, you got to lose your earthly citizenship and stop being a man and become a kingdom participant and expect God and the treasure of his truth to be worth you surrendering everything to embrace it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet cast into the sea and gathering in fish of every kind. And when it is filled, the net is filled, they drew it up on the beach and then sat down and gathered the good fish into containers, but the bad they threw away. Does that sound like the rapture to you?
Nope.
So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come and take out the wicked from among the righteous and will throw them into the furnace of fire in that place where they're weeping and wailing and gnashing. Wait a minute. He's not coming to snatch the Christians out of the earth and let the Antichrist have it. He's coming to separate us into a container prepared for us called the kingdom of God and throw the others away. Have you understood all these things? And they said to him, yes. And Jesus said to them, therefore every scribe who has become a disciple of the kingdom of heaven is like a head of a household who brings out of his treasure things new and old. Wait a minute. Every scribe. What is a scribe? A scribe was one who recorded the law. Every scribe who has become a disciple of the kingdom of heaven. So apparently there's things I can write that's not about the kingdom of heaven, or I can write about the kingdom of heaven because of discipling. It's like a head of a household who brings out of his treasure things new and old. What is that saying to you? Once you become a disciple of the kingdom, out of that understanding of the kingdom, you bring back old promises, because he said things hidden from the foundation of the earth, and you bring out new revelation, and you begin to pair the old and the new to build a kingdom. And when Jesus had finished his parables, he departed from there, and he came to his hometown and began teaching them in their synagogue, so that they were astonished and said, "Where did this man get this wisdom and these miracles?" And they began to relate based upon what they saw. Ain't this the carpenter's son? Ain't his mother still here, and his brothers, James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? Ain't his family still here? That kind of refutes the Catholic teaching that Mary remained a Vestal Virgin for life. And no, her and Joseph hooked up and they had more kids. But they didn't have Jesus. And they took offense at him. But Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor except in his hometown and in his own household." In this 13th chapter, if you'll begin to meditate it, you'll begin to ask, "Daddy God, open my eyes to see. I want to be that scribe, that disciple who's able to see the old and see the new and bring out of my house this revelation to affect change in the earth." 2015, a season of renewal, refreshing, restoration, but a season of abundance. Abundance of your mind, abundance of your spirit, abundance of your physical health, but abundance of your authority to build the kingdom. Pastor Jim, how can I build the kingdom? Just like that leaven, start at your workplace. Start building a Bible study in your home, a discipleship group at your job, or at your place of amusement or entertainment. My nephew in Oklahoma City started a Bible study for guys riding motorcycles. And he's out on the street. He sees guys riding motorcycles. He gives them a card. We meet at the Denny's on Wednesday nights, and we study the Word of God. And all of a sudden, tattooed, head shaved, all kinds of riders begin to show up. And now it's evolved and become No Excuses Men's Discipleship Group, and it is large as some churches. Why? Becoming a light where you find your pleasure. Well, maybe your thing is cars or golf or tennis. You can become a disciple builder in the area you enjoy. Maybe in your trade. You say they have a plumber's union and it has a bowling league and it's a... Why can't your plumber's union have a discipleship group and mentor and mature? No matter what venue or line of work you're in, you can start something that will change. Because when you do, the people you disciple in these truths, not in your denomination, not in your church, discipling in kingdom truth, will become better workers, more faithful, performing higher. And the business will want you to start doing that in all of their chapters. Why? When they see the product of your kingdom principles, they will embrace it because it will better their business. When you're putting together a men's group, the wives saw such a change in their husbands from this motorcycle group that they've now put together a wives' discipleship group because their husbands were so changed, they want more of it. Let your light so shine before men that they see your good works and glorify God. Be the leaven that leavens the lump God has put you in. We used to sing a song called Brighten the Corner Where You Are. Too many people are trying to find a dark corner to go to and leaving an even darker corner to get there. You are the light of the world. You are that leaven that can influence, impact the entire area where you live. Start thinking kingdom. Begin meditating Matthew 13. And start looking for all of the examples and the teachings of our Redeemer where he said, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom is like unto. And start asking yourself, what is he teaching me that applies to my everyday life? The Bible is not once upon a time in a far and distant place. It is ever-present help in the time of need. He sent his word and healed everything, not just the flu, your mind, your finances. Let the word become life in your life. Father God, your people hear your word. They are changed by your word. Your word is impacting their very power structure of self and self-understanding. And they are becoming light in the world that changes the darkness and reveals your wisdom and presence. I say the people under the sound of my voice are blessed of you, anointed of you, empowered of you, quickened of you, and taught of you. And great is their peace and undisturbed composure. And the people said,
amen.
Your love go with God.